Spring into your turf, lawn fertility strategies. This podcast was developed by Mike Goatley, Extension Turfgrass Specialist, and Eric Irvin, Associate Professor and Turfgrass Physiologist. Both of us are members of the Crop and Soil Environmental Sciences Department of Virginia Tech. Longer days and warming temperatures accompany a renewed interest in the lawn and landscape, and one of the first things most homeowners desire is a lush, dark green lawn. It's most often achieved by way of spring fertilization. But how much fertilizer is appropriate in balancing the aesthetics of the lawn versus overall turf health? And possibly, let's not forget environmental concerns. What's unique about spring turf fertilization in Virginia? Well, this is a transition zone state in which all grasses can be grown, just not always very well. In short, our likely extremes in climate during the winter and summer months result in environments that are very stressful to warm and cool season grasses alike. Hence, we need to constantly prepare our grasses for the next environmental stress period that we know will soon be approaching. Let's first understand our turf. Well, we get the biggest visual reward from maximizing the shoot system, that is, producing a maximum number of lush, dark green leaves and stems. We know that the foundation of a healthy lawn lies in having the most roots and carbohydrates possible in order to deal with the pending stress periods. In short, anything that can be done to maximize the root system and your carbohydrate reserves improves the health and overall fitness of the plant. So let's talk about some specific spring fertility strategies, and let's first focus on cool season turf grasses. For your cool season grasses, things such as bluegrass, ryegrass, fescue, there's an increase in root production in the spring as soil temperatures begin to warm. This period is quickly followed by a major surge in shoot growth as the plant accelerates its photosynthetic capacity. From a practical standpoint, a total nitrogen application rate of 0.5 to 1 pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet during the late winter to mid-spring months can actually benefit root development and enhance spring greening. The key to success is keeping away from the "if a little is good, more is better" philosophy. Ideally, the majority of spring root growth should be promoted by an aggressive fall nitrogen fertilization program from a few months earlier. Using this approach, the nitrogen for spring root growth is already inside the plant and is quickly mobilized and metabolized to contribute to the newly forming roots. It's recommended that approximately 3/4 of the seasonal nitrogen requirement for a cool season grass be applied in the fall. For instance, in a high-maintenance Kentucky bluegrass lawn that would receive up to 4 pounds of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet per year, that means 3 pounds of nitrogen would, perhaps should is a better word, be applied in the September to mid-December period. Of course, that much nitrogen is not required nor desired for all situations. It's up to you. What is it that you are expecting in your lawn? Fertilizer source obviously matters as well. For water-soluble sources, it's strongly recommended that you apply no more than 0.5 pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet per application in order to maximize nitrogen use efficiency and minimize nutrient leaching and runoff potential. At the most, apply no more than 1 pound of nitrogen as a water-soluble source per 1,000 square feet per application. Now let's focus a little bit on spring fertility strategies on warm season turf grasses. Though vastly different, things such as Bermuda grass, St. Augustine, Zoysia, and Centipede as compared to the cool season grasses, the fertility requirements for the spring are almost identical to those of its cool season counterparts. A little, again, goes a long way. Root production and carbohydrate levels drop sharply as almost all reserves are utilized to promote the development of shoots for photosynthesis. If possible, don't initiate spring nitrogen fertilization until after complete greening of the shoots. Spring root growth of most warm season grasses is limited until soils warm significantly, and heavy spring nitrogen fertilization can further decrease the root-to-shoot ratios. Upon complete greening, a regular fertility program supplying up to 1 pound of N per 1,000 square feet per growing month can be employed for the duration of the warm season growing period if needed or if desired. Again, it all depends on the grass and the level of maintenance desired or available. Bermuda grass and St. Augustine grass might receive up to 4 pounds of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet annually, whereas grasses like Centipede grass and Zoysia should receive no more than 2 pounds of N per 1,000 square feet on an annual basis. What about other nutritional or lime needs? Well, the only way to clearly understand what additional modifications your soil needs to optimize turf performance is to soil test for levels of pH, phosphorus, and potassium. The one nutrient that requires all turf grass managers, that is homeowner to professionals, pay particular attention to is phosphorus. Many of Virginia's soils that have been regularly fertilized over the years have more than adequate phosphorus according to soil tests, and no further applications of phosphorus are required and or desired. Phosphorus is known to be a contributor in water quality problems, and the likelihood of non-target effects on water quality due to leaching into groundwater are exaggerated when phosphorus is applied to soils that test high to very high in soil phosphorus. When needed, a soil test will recommend an appropriate fertilizer and application level of any nutrient, but the use of traditional complete garden-type fertilizers, for example, our standard 10-10-10, using these without the benefit of a soil test is not representative of environmental stewardship, so let's see if we can't do a better job. Where does all this fit with commercially available weed and feed materials and programs? Well, these products are often the first part of a four-step program touting a great-looking lawn. There are several well-respected companies that market such programs, and the ability to apply fertilizer and pre-emergent weed control in a single application is certainly attractive in this first part of the program. But there are still some things to consider in choosing the convenience of these programs. First of all, since most of the fertilizer carriers of the pre-emergent herbicide contain 70 to 80% water-soluble nitrogen, there's going to be a significant growth and greening response with the product's application. At the recommended use rate for many of these materials, they might be supplying up to 1 pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet. For cool season grasses, this is not an unrealistic value if this is the only application made in the spring in our transition zone climate. That is, steps 2 and 3 in the summer program might also be delivering 1 pound of N per 1,000 square feet, and these applications would not be recommended for our climate. The application timing on warm season grasses, Virginia, can also be somewhat troubling because a treatment is almost always made before or during winter transition. The nitrogen would be much more beneficial to both roots and shoots if it was applied after complete spring greening. However, in order to gain pre-emergent weed control, the chemical has to be applied prior to greening. Certain parts of the four-step program simply do not fit optimal transition zone fertility management programs for either cool or warm season grasses, and it's always a safe bet to try to select those products that contain the highest amounts of water and soluble nitrogen possible. Are you looking for some further information? Links to Virginia Cooperative Extension publications that specifically pertain to spring and summer lawn management are provided on this Turf and Garden Tips webpage. There are many publications full of valuable information on a host of topics that can be found at the VCE webpage at www.ext.vt.edu. This site contains links to all VCE Extension publications and contact information specific to your locale.